सपना देता है, तुम मौना चलता है, किस्सा जना जाता है, होगा तू प्रयास तो सपना देता है, तुम मौना चलता है, किस्सा जना जाता है, तू गया बाजार मोरा पुर बालरी नगर एक पड़ा तू कर दिता है
आणि स्वागत करता हूं तुमका आईचा सुशेगात तन पार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्रामर ऑकलंड असो कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम 104.6 प्लॅनेट एफएम हाँ रिची यानी मुझे संगत आसा मुझो फ्रेंड बैप्टिस्ट
हेलो
कसो आए रे तुम
हाँ बरो आसा रिची
जेवलो है बट
घट जेवलो आता नट नित नित असो जाले बट आता तुम्हें आप पहला हंगा मगा रेडियो प्रोग्राम
वेरी गुड आज आमचे संगत आसा एक सुबीत बाई ताचे नाव
गायत्री खत्री
गायत्री खत्री हो वेलकम गायत्री टू आवर प्रोग्राम
थैंक यू वेरी मच
हाउ आर यू
आई एम गुड
Have you heard about the Konkani language before?
I have, a little
you have.
Bit, yes.
And have you spoken or has anybody spoken about that language to you or spoken to you in that language?
Well, I'm born and brought up in Mumbai, so yes.
Yeah?
It's like, how are you?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I'm Bariya.
So Gayatri, tell us something about yourself. Where are you from? You said you are from Mumbai.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us something about yourself. How long have you been in this country and what do you do?
Right. I came to Aotearoa, New Zealand 5 years back.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said, I'm from Mumbai. And I'm working in the field of addiction and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the moment working with the Salvation Army, OSS, as a gambling addiction counselor and caseworker.
Oh, okay. So which part of Mumbai are you from?
I'm from Matunga.
Oh, in the midst of the Maharashtrians.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The Kasakai. And so what is your specialization as far as your education is concerned? What did you specialize in back in Mumbai?
Right. I did my graduation, my BA with psychology majors.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that education, I came to New Zealand and I pursued a diploma in professional counseling. So I'm a registered member with the New Zealand Association of Counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, when people talk about addiction,
right?
What's the differentiation between indulgence or liking or passion? You know, some people have a passion and so therefore they like. Fishing could also be called an addiction.
Right.
So what's the difference between a passion, indulgence, or liking?
I think from a clinical point of view, if I had to define addiction, it would be mainly depending on how it affects an individual. So what you're doing is, when you're talking about indulgence and having a passion for something, if it's progressive, if it's adding value to your life, then we say it's a passion, it's an indulgence. But when we are talking about addiction, we are talking about the negatives. We are talking about the bad effects. So when I'm talking about addiction, I'm talking about how people get affected with their behavior. For example, in gambling addiction, where people don't have limits to how much money they can spend. So it affects them financially.
So would you say that if I put a limit or if I play within my resources or indulge myself in any activity within my resources, though it is a habit, would it be called an addiction?
Well, there are a lot of parameters that we'll have to consider. When you're talking about resources and when you're talking about setting limits, let me give you a very common example. You would say, I just spent $50 on gambling in a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's your source of income? How much do you earn in a week? What is your family structure like?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are dependent on you financially to provide for them? So that $50 could be a lot considering your situation, or it could be nothing. So it all depends on looking into different parameters.
So going back to indulgence, it's just funny part.
Yes.
A person has indulgence in chocolate or food.
Yes.
That is not progressive. Right? So how do you then say addiction and indulgence are different? Because now addiction is also not progressive, it is aggressive. Similarly, indulgence would be regressive.
Mm-hmm.
in my case, what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you differentiate that then?
I think when we look at addiction, we are looking at the effect that it has on an individual. So if you're talking about chocolates, right? If you're saying, oh, I'm having chocolates, but is that causing diabetes? Or are you having any kind of health issues because of that? How much money are you spending it? Are you only indulging in having chocolates and not eating anything else? So that's what I was talking about. It's looking at all different parameters and then differentiating whether it's an indulgence, enjoyment, or it's harming you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that explanation.
You're welcome.
So tell me, we have a new form of addiction that has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or rather it is evolving and it is taking place, and that's the digital form of indulgence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. people are obsessed with social media,
mm-hmm.
or they want to be celebrities, or they are hooked on to WhatsApp, Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter, etc. Now, this can really bring about what I would call it as some form of development,
mm-hmm.
some form of popularity, some form of fame.
Uh-huh.
It may not be negative as what you say. So what do you say about this new form of addiction? My wife gets very irritated because soon after lunch or dinner, mm-hmm. on a Saturday afternoon, mm-hmm. I am on the computer.
Right, okay.
Get off it!
Right. I agree with you. It's very, we are living in a very social media kind of an era and generation. It is definitely very good at some level, but I think, again, I said the effect of it. Is it affecting your family, your whanau time? Are you giving enough time to your family? Are you giving enough time to yourself? Are you doing something which is more relaxing? If you're putting all energy into something and it's going beyond. So when I'm talking about social media, We experience that people have, self-esteem issues out of it. Posting things on social media, and then, you know, people say that social media is quite connecting and the world is becoming smaller. But in my experience with some of my clients, they have feelings of isolation.
Mm.
With social media.
Yeah, it leads to depression also sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
And you get negative feedback, uh-huh. sometimes, yes. so it uh-huh. doesn't really help.
It doesn't motivate. It demotivates people.
People.
Yes.
And absolutely. People texting while driving and reading their messages while driving.
Yes.
There was a special little stand erected to see all that.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Dangerous behaviors.
Should we have a song now?
I think we should. Yeah. We should. Uh-huh.
मोडणारी काळ जाती आमची बांध तुटो पुनजो
परत्यान स्वागत करता आम्ही सुशेगा दनपार प्रोग्राम अवेर 104.6 प्लॅनेट एफ एम अवेर आमच्या संगत आज असा गायत्री आमका गॅमलिंग जुगार म्हणतात तगा कोंकणीन विशेन उलयता आम्ही गायत्री वेलकम बॅक अगेन अँड लेट्स टेक इट ऑन फ्रॉम देअर रिचर्ड यू हॅव
वेल यू नो व्हॉट ब्रांच ऑफ medicine or sociology, would you call it any branch of sociology or medicine, this aspect of tackling addiction?
It's very difficult to put it into a single box, I think. Mm-hmm. From a clinical point of view, I would say it is social. It has got social impact. It has got individual impact, so it's a field of psychology where we kind of are working with our clients to understand where they come from, what mm-hmm. are the situations mm-hmm. they are coming from, mm-hmm. and what leads them to go into gambling addiction. So it's like a giving them a very holistic kind of an approach. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be difficult for us to put it into a single
given
box.
As yes, such. So absolutely. Tell me, this whole aspect of addiction is mm-hmm. so vast and so wide as such.
You're right.
How did you make up a choice to get into gambling addiction? Is your area of expertise or where you want to practice?
Oh, okay. Well, I've worked with, I kind of don't like the word mental health. I would rather say emotional health. I've always been passionate about it. And I think one of the major things that I found out while working with my clients with emotional health issues was addiction. So, you know, probably you would be surprised to know that addiction and mental or emotional health are quite correlated.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So a majority of our clients who have mental health or emotional health issues do have addiction issues as well, and the other way around.
Okay.
So I just wanted to go into
So
how do you recognize a person is having addiction or gambling addiction? How do you recognize a person? Like I can see everybody walking in a you can pinpoint, oh, this guy has got addiction or this person has got addiction. How do you zero on the person?
That's a very good point. One of the major things that we are facing, the challenge that we are facing with gambling addiction, is that people don't know that it's called a hidden addiction.
Yep.
So if someone has alcohol or drugs addiction, then there are some physical symptoms you can probably find out, look at a person, or with time understand and know that this person is going through some alcohol or drug issues.
They can't walk straight.
Yes.
or they are always wanting to have something kind of.
Yes. Yes.
So they are fidgety.
Yes, absolutely.
So in gambling, I don't know what symptoms would be there. So you're going to tell us.
Unfortunately, there are no physical symptoms that you can actually see, unless it goes to a level where the person might be very desperate. You might be surprised that most of our clients are severely depressed, or they might even have higher rates of suicidal attempts.
Tendency.
Yes. So
they might be very quiet people.
Yes.
They require to be very patient and very focused, because without that, they can't really gamble.
Okay.
That's what I think. Yeah. A gambler is quite patient. He's sort of, you know, a guy who's playing, say, a game of rummy, or he's playing teenpati, flush.
Uh-huh.
They are quite, you know, sort of calm. They don't give away. They have a poker face. They don't give away their emotions. They don't give away anything as such.
They are secretive.
They are very secretive.
They are secretive. There's a lot of taboo and shame attached to gambling.
Oh.
First of all, gambling addiction is, people don't even know that it could be an addiction. Gambling is taken more as fun.
Fun.
You know, people don't realize that it can go to an extent where it can go into addiction, and people really, really have to go through a lot of financial and family losses.
Uh-huh.
And with our experience and working with our clients, we know, and on an average, 10 people get affected with one gambler.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, on an average in his
circle
family.
Of influence is around 10 people.
Absolutely,
okay,
on an average.
Fantastic, yeah.
So how serious is this in New Zealand? What is the stats? How serious is this? And how does this stack up with the other type of addictions? People have, I was just reading today, you know, there's a huge problem about sex addiction through the digital media as such. There is substance addiction.
Right.
There is, what do you call it, as eating addiction, or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
How does gambling stack up with all of this?
The number.
How serious is that number?
Does
it come in the top 5 or top 10 or is it in the top 3 as such?
I would say it's really, really increasing day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, like I said, it needs to start from awareness to understand what is healthy gambling and what is gambling addiction. So people have to, you know, there should be more awareness in the community to even understand that gambling can be addictive. And the stats that we have are quite alarming. And I would say it's just the tip of the iceberg that we are seeing at the moment. And in unfortunately, we are kind of looking at getting more kind of clients on board, and it's nice to see that people are getting that awareness. In New Zealand, I would say it's quite high. At the moment, we know per year there is 12,000 plus people seeking gambling addiction support.
Wow, that's alarming. Basically, 12,000 per year.
Yes, and it increases. It increases every year, and almost 0.7% of adults in New Zealand, that's approximately 24,000 people, are problem gamblers.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
And 1.8%, almost 60,000 people, are on the moderate risk, and 5%, that is 168,000 people, are low risk gamblers.
Okay.
But they have potential to become moderate or go high risk.
High risk.
So, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like I said, there is not much awareness about gambling as an addiction and the harmful effects of it,
mm-hmm.
Because of which people are not coming forward to seek support. So it's not as common as alcohol and drugs.
So what you're saying is that...
there is no registration.
Or there's no reporting. Like yeah. what we were talking about, abuse of women in the society.
Mm.
There is less of reporting.
Absolutely.
It's only when it gets out of hand and it becomes a problem, then there is reporting, then there is a police involvement and so on. So even in the case of gambling, it would be only coming up when there are liabilities, when there are suicidal attempts or something of that sort.
Unfortunately, the worst case scenario.
Yeah, so it is in the worst sort. Okay.
Yes.
So that's
right.
The reason
said that it is a taboo, and therefore people stay away from it. The family doesn't want it to go out.
Correct.
Becomes an issue to actually come forward. Right. That's the awareness part of it.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how are these gamblers, online gamblers? Now this is because of the digital media. You have online gambling. Previously, either you go to a casino or you go to a small little boutique place and gamble away. But now it is online gambling. So people have FX trading, people have stock trading, people have Bitcoin trading.
Mm-hmm.
How is this being sort of caught?
That is, at the moment, our biggest challenge is the online gambling. Fortunately, New Zealand doesn't support online gambling.
Mm-hmm.
The only
It doesn't support,
It doesn't support.
Why is it so? Is it because there is no information, or is it because there is no track record, or what is it?
No, most of the online gambling companies, or whatever you call that, are outside New Zealand.
US-based mostly, yeah.
Yes, so New Zealand only at the moment has Pokies and TAB.
Yep.
Pokies, TAB, Casino.
That's sports, yeah. So pretty much that.
Hmm.
At times, that's our biggest challenge because our clients find it difficult because the media and everything available easily on the phone.
Hmm.
It's hard to address that addiction. But if they take support, if they come to the right place and seek support, then we have seen a lot of changes and positive results.
Yeah, but I'm quite surprised, Baptist. Do you know that? I didn't know this, that if you are gambling on a site...
Yeah.
Or through a facility which is overseas, say it may be in Australia also, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or
it could be anywhere, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in the world,
yeah.
I will not get any support in case if I become a problem gambler. That is what Gayatri is telling us.
Okay.
So
even if you know that, even if they come to you seeking help, you will not help them.
You're talking about people who have
gambling online.
Absolutely.
You'll help them.
Yes, absolutely.
But the government doesn't support. You won't get funding. Am I right? Is that the way you're interpreting it? Suppose if I become a gambler, online gambler, so I deal in FX and it's a constant passion of mine to deal in this FX trade or a Bitcoin trade somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But all these sites are in the US and I'm so much hooked onto it, and my family gets me to you and says, hey, buddy. This guy is a problem gambler.
Needs help.
And he requires help. So are you saying that the government is not going to support such a type of a case as such? I don't have any other gambling, or I don't have any other addiction which is New Zealand based.
Mm-hmm. I think what we are trying to address here is the problem gambling. It's not the mode of gambling that you
do. So everything is possible.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
So what is the methodology that you would adopt to sort of put some sort of restriction? Like in alcohol, there is legislation. All bars have to close down at a particular point of time.
Uh-huh.
All bottle shops cannot sell alcohol after a particular point of time.
Then there is an age limit.
Then there is an age limit. In casinos, you have certain regulations, age limit regulations, certain monetary regulations, etc. So is the case with pokies.
Yes.
Yeah. So despite all this, you still have a huge alarming rate of gambling.
Yes.
How do you think the government should sort of tackle this?
I
or the society, I say, tackle this.
Right. I would not be the right person to comment on any government policies. Yeah. But as a caseworker, as a counselor, I know there are a lot of legislations in place already. One of the things that the Department of Internal Affairs is very, very on to it is about host responsibilities at gambling venues. So what I mean by host responsibilities are, like, if you go to a casino, they have specially trained people appointed there to recognize what could look like problem gambling. So if they identify people who might be having problem gambling, they will approach those kind of clients that they have and would address that to them, and they would actually promote them to come into counseling or seek some kind of problem gambling support. At the same time, there are a lot of other things that are in place to support, you know, if you identify that you have problem gambling behavior, then, like I said, there is one, you know, one-on-one counseling support available. And then we have different ways of, you know, meeting the client's needs to see that the gambling harm is reduced.
Is there any ethnicity involved, or it's just all across the board? Specific ethnicities are high numbers in gambling, or there are in some other cases they are very low kind of thing?
I think there is, you know, the stats that we have shows that gambling is probably very high. It is absolutely high in low-income groups.
Okay.
So most of the gambling venues are in places where people are from the low economic group.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So socioeconomic
group.
So they want to become rich by a single day, something like that.
That
so they want to improve their status in life or whatever.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they want to gamble and see whether they can get there.
Yes.
Probably that is the objective. I'm just thinking.
Yes. That could be one of the reasons of gambling. But we do see a lot of, so I wouldn't say a particular ethnicity, but we see that overall it's increasing irrespective of the ethnicity. It's just how it has been placed at places.
Because I read a report says Asian communities are now getting there, basically.
Yes.
So Asia, total of Asian communities which are in New Zealand.
Yes.
And that's a report I read. So do you think that is happening, or?
I believe that it is happening and our major concern at the moment is not only the alarming number going up, but also youth getting involved with gambling, especially youth under the age of 18, online gambling.
Yes,
and gaming.
Yeah, because then there is no host responsibility.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And there is no limit for that.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, but I would rather say that, you know, socioeconomic conditions, which we say is responsible for high level of gambling as such. But even in well-off countries and even in well-to-do countries, the aspect of gambling is, the problem of gambling or addiction is there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right across as such. So even if you raise the socioeconomic levels, it will not go away. It is more to do with somebody's nature.
Mm-hmm.
It is more to do with some sort of a habit. For example, okay, there are many people who have come to this country,
right,
and they make it a point every Saturday to buy a lotto ticket. Some have bought lotto tickets for the last 15 years, but not won a single penny. What would you call it?
Again, like I said, it's the different modes of gambling and also the parameters that we have to look at. There could be someone who spends $20 on lotto in a week, and there could be someone who is spending $1,000 on lotto in a week.
Let me tell you, people will increase their stake depending upon the money that is there. So if it is $4 million, no, today I will not take it. But if it's $30 million, let us, you know, create a pool. Let us, you know, put more money into it.
Right.
So it's some sort of a nature which I believe, I wouldn't put so much on the socioeconomic condition, but some sort of a nature that is ingrained in us or sitting somewhere deep that comes to manifestation when it comes with money.
I think that
I'll just leave that at this juncture for a giving.
I'll also come back on that.
Let us listen to a song.
Right.
Mm-hmm. salu mug amso odi lanche dole sulkon gudar boso lagna mandan khazra pesan gatt zaunso kota mandon morna boryan tir raunso jistina
jistina
amchi sodi sokche bori dusri sokche na jistina
jistina sudu peto sokyari kinchi lakshina
Samir, you recently bought your first home, right?
Yes, I did.
How difficult was it?
Difficult? Why would it be difficult?
Didn't you say you only had 10% deposit for your house?
10% is enough if Mortgage Masters is helping you with home loan.
Mortgage Masters can also help you with refinance or with any rental and commercial property related question. Contact Nathan Saminathan now, a certified financial planner and authorized financial advisor with over 30 years of experience in New Zealand. Call now on 0800-630-7171. Address 619 Dominion Road, Mount Eden or visit mortgagemasters.co.nz.
তুমি আইকাতাত সুশেগা দনপার প্রোগ্রাম অকল্যান্ড সো কোঙ্কনি রেডিও প্রোগ্রাম 104.6 প্ল্যানেট এফএম আওয়ার মুজে সঙ্গে আসাত Baptist Lobo ani Gayatri Katri. We are talking about gambling as an addiction. Mm-hmm. I just left this thought with you before we broke off for that song.
Right.
Where we said is that...
So I wanted to answer that question.
Yeah, just so let me repeat that question as such. You know, in this country, people who have come who have never gambled before make it a point to buy a lotto ticket every Saturday or every Wednesday. And when the stakes go up, then they increase their stakes.
Yes.
And the question is whether that is addiction or whether that is compulsion or whether that's a habit or whether that's a passion.
In my opinion, I think each one of us want to become rich in a single day. And that is what in us as human beings. And that is what, not addiction basically, but to become a millionaire or whatever the stakes are. And that's what plays.
Let's listen to the expert.
So, when you left me with that thought...
We disturbed you.
I'm very happy that you brought that up. What I'm trying to say, and I want to emphasize one thing, is yes, everybody wants to get rich, but it's the media. It's the media. What happens is what gets highlighted is that one person who wins that lotto.
Yep.
Right? But they don't highlight that there are probably
millions
who lost it.
Right. Yeah, there are cases also where won it and lost it.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
There was a girl in UK recently who blew up almost all of $22 million in £22 million in a couple of weeks or months or whatever it is.
Yes.
So you say you blame it on the media.
Partly, yeah. I would say, because media has the potential to play with your mind. It makes you believe. It gives you that hope that you can win. And gambling, we all know it's a game of chance. Mm. And how much that chance is? Probably one in a million. But you will put that bet thinking that you are that one in that million who is going to win.
There was a saying, there's a more chances of a lightning striking you than you winning a lotto.
Yep, absolutely.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're still alive.
I'm still alive. So I'll never win a lotto.
But the lightning has also not struck you, man.
Yeah.
So you're a very lucky guy on both counts, I must say. So you say that you work with the Salvation Army.
That's right.
You have been here for the last 5 years.
Yes.
In this country.
Uh-huh.
So what is it that Salvation Army is doing to address this whole problem of gambling?
Okay. Salvation Army has been funded by the Ministry of Health. Mm. And we are the primary, amongst the two primary gambling problem reduction, harm reduction services. So what Salvation Army, the part that I'm working with is called OSS, which deals, it's a niche service for problem gambling. So what we do is we address the problem gambling and harm reduction strategies. So we work with our clients to understand where they are coming from, what we can do to support them in a very holistic way.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is that we also focus on the affected others from the gambling. So we are not only focusing on one person, but we are focusing on the entire family and the whānau, people around the gambler, so that not only they get support, but the gambler gets support.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is going back into the community or to his whānau, then he is well equipped with the resources to be able to control the gambling harm.
So let's get a role play. Let's say Mr. Baptist
is
an addict gambler. He plays all sorts of games that are there. He's got 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is a hard worker. This fellow does nothing but gambles. Okay.
Right.
He comes to you all. So how is the process? How does the process work?
Right.
So he is brought to you.
No, he's not.
He comes or
Ajay, he brought to you. Yeah, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, he lands up at the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
A hardcore gambler,
right.
Been doing that for the last 30 years of his life,
right.
And he's got 5 kids who are really, struggling. How do you tackle that?
Number one, we have to look at the motivation. So if he is coming to us on his own, recognizing that he has got gambling problem, then we are supporting him. So the first thing that we do is we go through an assessment to know where he's coming from, what type of gambling mm-hmm. mode he's having at the moment, mm-hmm. and what are his goals. So we set goals for him. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are you looking at? How far has gambling harmed him and mm-hmm. his funnel? So we look at a wraparound kind of a service. Then we look at, like I said, coexisting issues, like we mm-hmm. say that in our clinical terms. Mm-hmm. So we look at what could be the other reasons that has led him to gambling. Mm-hmm. So we address all those issues together mm-hmm. so that, you know, we look at gambling not only as one problem, but a combination of a lot of other problems.
So in this assessment, what mm-hmm. do you find mostly is responsible for this addiction? Is it because his father was a gambler? They say if your father was a smoker, you may pick up smoking. Your father was an alcoholic or a parents uh-huh. were alcoholic, you pick it up. Where does this aspect of gambling come in? Do you pick it up? Where do you pick it up from? From your assessments, I mean basically saying your experiences, where does gambling actually people pick
originate, up? Originate. How does person get into gambling? That's what your question is, right?
Yeah. Say, for example, Baptist. Yeah. He came from a very, very good family.
Yes.
Mother was good. Went to a very good school. Good mm-hmm. friends. But Baptist got... I had a friend like that.
Yeah.
Was an excellent maths student. He was a tutor. And then he was heavily into horse racing.
Right. Okay. Before I answer your question, let me ask you a question.
Surely.
What do you think makes a person addicted to alcohol or drugs?
Alcohol would be like social drinking graduates, so you graduate from social drinking. Drugs mm-hmm. is like to find empathy with your peers. So sometimes mm-hmm. you may be with your friends. Are mai ek sutta maarta hu tere saath. That one becomes two and yes. three and four and five, and then you get hooked onto it.
Yes.
So it depends upon what company you keep.
Right.
Company.
Or mm-hmm. you may be somebody who is very secretive, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who doesn't want to say. So my friend, he was a school topper.
Right.
He was a very good maths teacher.
Mm-hmm.
People used to call him, he was an IIT.
Genius, basically.
He was basically a genius. Yeah. He cracked the IIT, got the topper, but didn't join IIT.
Okay.
But he was an excellent gambler.
Mm-hmm.
Horse racer.
Right. Okay.
So he didn't have many friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm asking, is how does one get into it? How does one get sucked into it?
Would you agree with me if I said that drugs and alcohol in itself, the product is addictive?
Mm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
And are you aware that the gambling machines and the way the gambling industry works, the products are addictive? They are made addictive?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because they give you, when you play for the first time mm-hmm. or play for the second time, you always win.
Exactly.
And that's to lure you into
so
the
that's
system.
Your
so you get sucked into it. Yeah.
Lure
exactly.
Yeah. So that's what the, yeah, to come
so
to.
So you're saying
answer
that
the question.
The there is
atmosphere created.
There's an atmosphere created as such.
Yes.
So why isn't that being
nipped in the bud?
You have already answered a majority of your questions saying that, you know, there are...
You're saying that we shouldn't have held this program.
Oh, no, definitely. I think it is a good initiative. You know, we should reach out to the community to tell them that gambling is not only fun, it can be addictive and it can be a problem. Like you said, first of all, the product in itself is very addictive. Plus, there could be a variety of different reasons and mm-hmm. socioeconomic conditions and even your personal life traumas mm-hmm. that people mm-hmm. go through. Mm-hmm. So they could have relationship issues, they could have depression, they could have mental health issues like we have discussed earlier, or they could have, you know, suddenly they could, you know, something in their life might have changed. They would have gone through a traumatic event. Mm-hmm. They might have lost something, had huge financial losses, and that can drive them into gambling. You know, so we look at all those factors mm-hmm. and that's when I said that we have that holistic approach. Mm-hmm. So we don't look at our clients as addicts. We look at them as having an addictive problem.
Okay. Now looking at Salvation Army, they are trying to help and government is putting in money and things like that.
Yes.
What are the challenges you face in terms of funding, in terms of volunteers, in terms of any help you require to address this issue?
I think on that level, I'm not very, you know, I would not comment on that kind of challenges because that's pretty much upper management question. But
so as on a day-to-day basis, what do you see?
I think the major challenge...
A lot of volunteers are there to help you. Funding is coming in,
yes,
no problem.
Definitely.
All
definitely.
That is happening.
Like I said earlier, the government is onto it.
Yeah.
They do recognize that gambling addiction is becoming a problem,
yeah,
especially with the youth. And that is why we are very active in working towards and wanting the community to take this message that if you identify that you have a gambling problem,
yeah,
or you know someone around you who might be, you know, kind of having a gambling problem,
yeah,
then please seek those resources and support. And there is available support. And like I said, I'm working with the Salvation Army, and these services are free of cost.
So what is the number to call, or what is the way to get in touch with Salvation Army?
Definitely.
If you can tell our listeners, they can make
those
a note
who
of
are,
it.
Those who are listening,
yeah,
at the moment,
yeah,
yes,
and who have a problem,
yeah,
possibly they could sort of, you know, come
get in touch with you.
Definitely. What I would highly encourage people is to go on the Salvation Army website,
yeah, uh-huh,
and just look at the information. And we have a 0800 toll-free number,
yeah,
and they can just reach out to us from there.
Uh-huh.
And they will be referred to...
So the website is www.salvationarmy.co.nz?
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
And so how many centers do you have across New Zealand as such?
At the moment, OSS is operating from 5 centers in,
okay,
Auckland. So we have one in Mount Eden,
uh-huh,
one at Mount Wellington,
uh-huh,
then we have at Waitakere,
uh-huh,
and we also have in North Shore, Albany.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
so quite spread.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
Well spread,
okay.
And one at Manukau.
Oh.
So we are well connected, and you know, people can access services where they find it convenient.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So all you listeners out there, if you have a gambling problem, then you have Salvation Army, which reaches out to such addicts, and they can help you to restore yourself back to a normal person, or to gamble within certain limits, if I may say, Gayatri?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Or to gamble with responsibility, as I could say. Just like,
absolutely,
as they say, drink with responsibility,
uh-huh,
so also gamble with responsibility. So, Gayatri, before we sign off, would you like to give our listeners a message?
Definitely. First of all, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to reach out to the community. What I would say is gambling, we have seen gambling being a big problem, and it's rising. And as a community, we can fight this problem. And like you said, nip the problem in the bud.
Mm.
So I would really, really want the community to take this on board that gambling addiction is a problem. And if you do identify that you have any kind of gambling, you know, problem behavior, or anybody in your whānau, your family, in your friends having that kind of problem, please, please reach out to the Salvation Army. And our services are free. You can reach out to us on our 0800 number. We have, you know, caseworkers and counselors to support you. And we have people who understand our culture. And I'm always there. You can always reach out to me. So, yeah, that's
so
me.
So please don't shy away.
Yes.
Don't stay away. Address it. And as,
yes,
Gayatri said, nip it in the bud.
Yes.
And as Richard said, gamble with responsibility.
Just like drink with responsibility.
Absolutely.
On that note, adios, Deo Bore Guru, Ani.
Thank you.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you. Namaskar.
Namaskar. Sampana ha podana na 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 na
ಪ್ರಾಯರ್ ಕಸರಸು ಕೇಳು ಕೇಳೋ ಲಿಂಬಾವುಡಿ ರಸ್ತ್ಯಾರ ಮೇಲ್ಯಾರ ದೀಸ್ತು ನೋಡಾನು ದೂಸ್ರ ಖುಷಿ ಸಂತ ಲಾನಾ ಸ್ಥಾನ ಸಾಂಗಾತ ಕೇಳೋಲಿ ಚೆಡುವ ತೀ ತೋಡಿ ಮುಕಾರ ಮೇಲ್ತಾನ ತಿ ಹುಕೋಲು ಪೋಲಂಕುಲ ಜೇತ ನೆಟ್ಟುಲ ಕಾಯರ್ ಕಸರಸು ಕೇಳು ಕೇಳೋ ಲಿಂಬಾವುಡಿ ರಸ್ತ್ಯಾರ ಮೇಲ್ಯಾರ ದೀಸ್ತು ನೋಡಾನು ದೂಸ್ರ ಖುಷಿ ಸಂತ ಆತ್ಲೇದೆ ಊರಿಗೆ ಪೋ ಆತಾ ಮಾಯಾ ಜಾಲೆ ಕೃಷೆ ಪ್ರಾಯ ಮುಜಿ ವಾಡ್ತಾನಾ ಸಗಳೆ ಬದೋನ್ ಗೆಲೆ ಅಶೆ ವಿಷೆ ತು ಕೂಡ್ತಾನಾ ತೋಡ್ಯಾಂಗ್ ಲಾಕ್ತ ಸರಿಯಾ ಪೀಶೆ ಪೂರ್ಣ ಮಾಯೆ ದೋಳು ಜಾಲೆಲೆ ನಾ ತಶೆ ತೋಡ್ಯಾ ಊರ್ಸಾ ಆದಿ ಹಾ ಪ್ರಾಯ ರಾಸ್ಲೋ ನೆಂಟು ಪ್ರಾಯ ತಿರಾವಾನ ಆತಾ ಬುದಿ ಜಾಲೋ ಸಾಂಟು ಸಾಸ್ತಾನ ಮೋಸೋ ಗಾಂವ್ ಮೋಜೆ ನಾವು ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಿ ಕೋಣಾಂಚ ಸಾಳಾತ ಸಾಂಪ್ರಾಣ ಪೋಡಾನ ದಾಟು ಪ್ರಾಯ ರಾಸ್ಲೋ ನೆಂಟು ಪ್ರಾಯ ತಿರಾವಾನ ಆತಾ ಬುದಿನ್ ಜಾಲೋ